Today is Pentecost, celebrated throughout the Christian church. So I'm going to start with a reading from the Pentecost story that appears in John and Acts. This particular reading will come from the Gospel of John. I'm reading from chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, and this is from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that version. Hear now these words. If you love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's speaking to those who have gathered in an upper room after he has, through as the story tells us, has been crucified, dead, and buried, and risen. And he comes to them in this upper room and says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. I have another set of words that I'd like to share with you. This particular set comes from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. It's from a 1967 speech he gave called, Where Do We Go From Here? What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. Let me repeat that. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. And justice at its best is love correcting everything that stands against love. And this is what we must see as we move forward. So,
good morning, everyone. This was not intentional, but this song ends up being what we did this morning, I think, is because of the weather. The song is called Malaise. This malaise come upon me, and I find that it's beyond me to hold my way. Yeah. The world I built is burning when I should be discerning what it's all about. Trying not to wallow in self-pity. Where that would lead me isn't very pretty. Sorry you have to listen to me now, 'cause I know these things have a way of working out. Not doing much of nothing. Wishing I come up with something that I could to keep me moving forward. And always looking forward, losing all me. Spend all my time looking forward, the exit. Now I finally get it. Cast away my fears and my doubts. I know these things have a way of working out. And if it doesn't go my way, I'll just sigh and say, oh well, start again. Put away the gas, go to my desk and get out. It's willing strong, but mine is stronger. It won't be around much longer this night. Time for me. To get it gone. To me. These things have a way of working out. And these things have a way of working out.
Thank you very much for that. Malaise is an interesting, it's not a word we use a lot, but there's more going on, I guess, today. Malaise is a word that I'm actually going to be using in my message today at some point. So listen for that. And you'll see a little synchronicity going on there that was unplanned. My message today is entitled, Love Advocates for More Than Charity. So in today's scripture reading, Jesus tells us a few things, and in preparing this particular message, I became particularly interested in three things he says. One, I will not leave you. Two, I will send you an advocate. And three, keep my commandments. The connection between the three, in my mind, kind of goes like this. Jesus said, keep my commandments. So, what did Jesus command us to do? Well, the primary thing was to love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, how do you do that? Be an advocate for them, particularly when they're in need. And that's kind of interesting, knowing that Jesus told us in the scripture that he would send us an advocate, not necessarily tell us to be. And finally, as Christians, we are trying to imitate Jesus' life and teachings to be a reflection of him now that he is gone. Which is interesting, because also in today's scripture, Jesus tells us he won't leave us. So it sort of has this beautiful balance when you really think about it. Think about it. Jesus said that if we will be advocates for others, we will receive an advocate for ourselves. And it is in all of us being advocates that advocates are here for each one of us. If we're going to understand what it means to show that kind of love to others, there is one very important word in today's scripture that we need to understand. That word is paraclete. It is the Greek word that's translated in today's scripture as advocate. It literally means one called alongside of. So, let's put that all together. We have a word, paraclete, that means a person who is called to stand alongside of another for comfort. That's the word interpreted as advocate. One called alongside of for comfort. It is the one thing that Jesus very specifically says that he is going to send us when he leaves. So it seems like it must be pretty important. That's the one thing he says that he's going to send us. Particularly when it is so clearly something that we can all be for each other if we choose to do so. Which brings us to the crux of my message today. How do we live into being an advocate? How do we comfort the afflicted? How do we show that kind of divine love? Well, the simple answer is by simply sharing that love with others, which very conveniently is a big part of what Jesus was talking about in today's scripture when he says, keep my commandments. Share divine love with one another. But how do we share love? How do we share that kind of love with others? Well, as you delve into that question, you begin to understand that in contemporary society, the answer has everything to do with the difference between charity and justice. And not just any justice. We're talking about divine justice here. A justice that is to roll like mighty waters. We show authentic divine love. We become good advocates by not only giving those in need a hand out if they need it, but by giving them a hand up because they need it. It's a question of charity versus justice. Charity temporarily fixes people's situations so that the systems seem to work better. Justice permanently fixes systems so that all people have a real opportunity to be better. You see, love is not complete when it is temporary. Charity is love in the moment. Justice is love extended into the future. You do not share complete love when you give the guy on the street corner a dollar. It is a beginning, but it is just the beginning. Love begins to extend past the temporary and into the future. When you hand him that dollar and you ask him his name, you find out how he got here, you listen to him and don't judge him. You recognize that he wouldn't be here if he had a better choice. From his story, you learn how the systems in which we live are perfectly designed to get the results which we have. Perfectly designed to let some snack on caviars while others scrounge for scraps. Perfectly designed to let some jet around the country while others sleep under bridges. Perfectly designed to let some fall into money while others fall into poverty. And then, once you recognize that, you set yourself to changing the systems. You do charity because you must. You do charity because it changes a life for a moment. But you do not stop there. You become an advocate. One called alongside you. Fight for justice because from your place in life, you can. You fight for justice because it changes lives forever. How do you know if you're following Jesus' instructions to obey his commandments? You examine your life to see if it speaks justice into the darkest places of this world. You look to see if your life is one of advocacy. If you find yourself being called one called alongside of others. You see, if you're truly loving your neighbor, you will practice charity and justice. Ultimately, as a whole, the Christian church is much more comfortable with charity than justice. As I've said, we need charity. It helps those thought of as the least of these in the here and now. But the thing about charity is it does just as much for the giver as for the receiver. You don't really risk much, and you get to feel good about yourself. It's why you so frequently hear people who come back from mission trips saying that they got so much more out of the trip than they put into it. Because they did. Now, I'm not saying that is a bad thing. Not at all. I'll say it again just to make sure I'm not misunderstood. Charity is a good thing. It is a loving act. It's just that. It's a temporary loving act. Justice, on the other hand, when done right, means much more to those receiving it than those giving it. You see, to do justice, you must risk. It turns out, you see, that powerful people don't take kindly to someone mucking about with the systems that provides their livelihoods, even if it does so at the expense of others. They will attack you and judge you and try to hurt you in one form or another. In very simple ways, justice requires you to put your life on the line for the sake of giving real life to others. Sort of biblical. No greater love has anyone than this, than they lay down their lives for another. But we, the Christian church, oddly prefer charity to justice. We are more than glad to take bag lunches to people on street corners, but we are sadly reluctant to stand on street corners protesting when the very programs that could help those in need are being defunded. We are more than glad to give pennies for the hungry, but we are surprisingly reluctant to donate that same money to advocacy groups like Bread for the World, who are working to change the systems that create inequitable distributions of food resources. Today's scripture says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Advocate, one called alongside. If we are to share divine love, we will love one another. If we are to share divine love, we are to be advocates, ones called alongside of each other. If we truly live in the Jesus commandment to love one another, we will be advocates, ones called alongside of others, defenders of divine justice, which should roll like mighty waters. But in far too many churches, we tend to be more like trickling streams of charity. Personally, I see a general malaise that has fallen across Christianity. Thank you for the word. We have bought so far into a kumbaya, turn the other cheek, Jesus is more of a doormat than a door, that we have rendered ourselves somewhat ineffectual. Frequently we come to think that loving our neighbors as ourselves means not making anyone upset by demanding that the poor and the sick are cared for, even though that is exactly what Jesus did. How we got to this point, I really don't fully know, and quite honestly, it doesn't really matter. What does matter is that lots of Christians practice their faith by that version of what love looks like. It's a version that looks nothing like the love that Jesus practiced while he was here on earth. In that kumbaya version of Christianity, having an attitude of gratitude means possessing a disposition of constant submission to the world and those who rule it. Turning the other cheek so many times that you no longer know if you're looking left or right. Biblically, that song is disharmonious, disconnected, and a disturbing distortion of who Jesus actually was. Need I remind us all that the Roman government found Jesus to be such a threat that they crucified him, not because he was a bad person, but because he did not make nice when people in power distorted the message of love. He was busy being an advocate, demanding justice. He didn't turn the other cheek while politicians and religious leaders conspired to step on the least of these. He stood up for what was right. He flipped tables in the name of love. He did not lash out violently. at other human beings, but he did not back down. He did not sacrifice divine justice for the comfort of humanity. He did not keep his mouth shut in the name of being nice. He didn't do those things because he loved the world too much. He wanted to love his neighbor as himself. He was busy practicing advocacy. For too long, people have suffered, for far too long. God has claimed the meek and the poor in spirit and those who mourn and those who thirst for justice and the merciful and the pure of heart and the peacemakers and those that suffer persecution for justice, for justice's sake, as God's own. And those who take care of the, take advantage of the meek and the and persecute people who work for justice have been given a pass by Christians who think that turn the other cheek means to passively sit by like a doormat as they marginalize and get stepped on and used and abused by the power who will wipe the world's sometimes gritty reality off their feet on us so that their houses that they build on the backs of the rest of us don't get soiled with the pain and the abuse and the hatred of the world that they themselves have created. When Jesus was confronted with people that had distorted the purpose of divine love, he flipped tables. When Jesus was confronted by people using God's name to dupe those who had little, who were meek, who were abused and marginalized, he flipped tables. If we wish to love our neighbors as ourselves, to walk alongside of them, to be advocates in the name of divine love in the way that the Pentecost story calls us to be. There are certain things that should move us to the point of wanting to flip tables as well. People using God's name for false purposes. People using religion to further marginalize the least of these. Divine justice, not rolling on mighty waters. Philanthropy, stopping at charity rather than living into the future through justice. When those things happen, it's time for us to not only flip tables, but to turn them as well. It's time for us to live into being the advocates that we are called to be. It's time to no longer stop at charity, but rather to extend our love of neighbor into justice. It's time for us to confront injustice at every turn. We must profess love in every moment. We must see something of the divine in every face. And we must recognize that it might just take flipping a few proverbial tables to get there.
Thank you, Mark. This almost sort of goes along, especially the last verse of it. This is called Do the Work. I'm dealing with a struggle, been stuck in it for years. Face to face with my inhibitions and my fears, confronting resistance and pushing it away. Listen to the elders, and just let me say, I've just got to do the work. I just need to do the work. You don't have to make it brilliant, don't have to make it good. As long as I get it written down, I'm doing what I should. I don't worry about the rhythm, I don't worry about the rhyme. I can always fix it later, it all comes together in time. I've just got to do the work. I just need
Where we turn a little more inward, as I always say. This could be a prayer for you. You can pray these words along with me as you hear them. You can meditate in this time, or just wait for the words that you need to hear today and grab hold of those. But let's do bow our heads together. We know what love looks like. We say we want to love the world, but we only manage to love one another sometimes. The face of the divine is always with us, but we would rather drop a dollar in a cup than spend any time with the person holding the cup. On sidewalks and on the roads, we have the opportunity to recognize the divine daily. But we're more interested in being first to the merge lane or not making eye contact. In our hearts, we do want to learn how to love all. May we be reminded that we are seeing the divine when we help those in need. And may we be reminded that we all are in need. May we continue to learn that the love to which we are called is abundant and wide, perfectly designed to grow more abundant and even wider the more we share. May we be inspired to live lives of love, partnering with those in need to overcome systems that marginalize, hurt, belittle, take advantage of, and generally dismiss those of fewer resources. May we grow love in each and every moment as we work towards a world full of divine love and divine justice. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with each person.